Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, A, and with me, as always, is B. Today, we are looking at the growing pains of our new AI-assisted workflows, from silent configuration failures to the broader cultural exhaustion with conversational interfaces.
It really is a fascinating moment in the industry. We've spent the last 18 months putting a chat box into every conceivable piece of software. And now we are finally stepping back and asking if that was actually the right design choice for every problem.
Exactly. The novelty has worn off, and developers are demanding reliability and deterministic behavior. When you're trying to build complex, agentic systems, you don't want to have a polite conversation with your tools. You just want them to work.
And unfortunately, as our first story today demonstrates, making these tools work seamlessly across local and remote environments is still a massive challenge. We are seeing some incredibly frustrating bugs emerging in the tooling layer.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, including a look at some shell expansion bugs in Claude Code, a missing beta header in the Anthropic Java SDK, and a quick roundup of tech culture news, including Last.fm going independent and the private equity rollout of Essential Services.
Let's dive right in. That is a mouthful of a title, but it perfectly describes one of the most maddening types of bugs a developer can encounter, a silent failure, where the diagnostic tools tell you everything is fine, but the actual system behavior is completely broken.
Let's break down exactly what is happening here. This issue was specifically documented on Claude Code version 2.1140 running on macOS. It revolves around the Model Context Protocol, or MCP, which is the standard Anthropic uses to allow Claude to interact with local tools and datasets.
Right. MCP is incredibly powerful because it lets you define custom servers that expose specific capabilities to the AI. You can have a global configuration file sitting in your home directory, but you can also have a project-specific config file named .mcp.json sitting in your repository.
And that project-level configuration is crucial for portability. If you are working on a team, you want to commit that .mcp.json file to your repo so that anyone who clones the project automatically has the right context servers loaded for that specific code base.
But here is where the bug rears its ugly head. The user has explicitly set enable all project MCP servers true in their global settings. They run the command claude mcp list, and the CLI confidently reports that the project-level servers are connected.
So as a developer, you see that connected status and you assume you are good to go. You drop into your Claude Code session, you ask the model to use one of the tools provided by that server, and the model basically shrugs and says it doesn't have access to it.
Exactly. The tools provided by the project-level server are silently absent from the session's tool manifest. The model literally cannot see them. It turns out the system is only loading tools into the manifest if the server is also defined in the global user scope configuration.
Which completely defeats the purpose of having a project-level configuration in the first place. If you have to duplicate your project servers into your global config just to get them to load, you lose all the isolation and portability that makes the .mcp.json file useful.
It's a scope resolution failure during the manifest generation phase. The CLI tool that checks the connection status is correctly reading the project config, but the actual session initializer that builds the tool manifest for the LLM is somehow dropping those local-only servers.
The technical detail here is that the tools are supposed to be injected with a specific prefix, like mcp __server_whatever. Because they aren't in the global config, that prefix injection step just gets skipped entirely for the local servers.
And we really have to emphasize the psychological toll of bugs like this. When the CLI says connected, you trust it. You end up spending hours debugging your own MCP server code, wondering if your tool definitions are malformed, when in reality, the client is just silently dropping them.
It is the equivalent of a dashboard engine light that says everything is fine while the engine is actively on fire. Developers rely on these diagnostic commands to build their mental model of the system state. When the diagnostic lies to you, it destroys trust in the tooling.
This is a growing pain of the rapidly evolving AI tooling ecosystem. We're building these highly complex distributed architectures where the LLM needs to handshake with local binaries, and the configuration surface area is massive. Edge cases around config merging are bound to happen.
Hopefully, the Anthropic team prioritizes a fix for this quickly. The fix likely involves unifying the configuration parsing logic so that the session initializer uses the exact same resolved configuration state as the Claude MCP list command.
Until then, the unfortunate workaround is to manually pollute your global .tilde/claude.json file with all of your project-specific MCP servers, which is messy, but it is the only way to guarantee the tools actually make it into the session manifest.
Moving on to our second deep dive, we are looking at a piece that has been making the rounds on Hacker News, titled, "I'm Tired of Talking to AI." It touches on a sentiment that I think is quietly building across the entire tech industry right now.
It really is. The premise is simple but profound. The conversational user interface, the ubiquitous chat box that we've slapped onto every product since ChatGPT launched, is actually a highly inefficient and exhausting way to get work done.
For the past 2 years, the default assumption has been that natural language is the ultimate interface. Why learn to code or learn a complex GUI when you can just tell the computer what you want in plain English? But the reality of using these systems day in and day out is very different.
The friction comes from the non-deterministic nature of the interaction. When I click a button in a traditional graphical user interface, I know exactly what is going to happen. It is instantaneous and reliable. When I prompt an AI, I am rolling the dice.
Exactly. You type out your request, which inherently takes more keystrokes than a keyboard shortcut. Then you wait for the token stream to generate. And then crucially, you have to read and verify the entire output, because the model might have hallucinated or misunderstood you.
That verification step is where the fatigue really sets in. It shifts your cognitive load from being a creator to being an editor. And editing code or text that you didn't write yourself requires a very specific, draining kind of mental energy.
The author of the piece captures this perfectly. Prompt engineering often feels like you were just negotiating with a stubborn, probabilistic compiler. You were trying to find the exact magic words to trick the system into giving you the output you actually wanted in the first place.
And let's talk about the conversational filler, the fake empathy. When a tool breaks, I don't need it to say, "I apologize for the confusion. I'd be happy to help you fix that." I just want the diff. The conversational wrapper adds visual noise and slows down the feedback loop.
This is why we are seeing such a strong push toward agentic workflows and direct manipulation interfaces that use AI under the hood. The best AI features right now are the ones where you don't even know you are talking to an AI. It just auto-completes your thought or automatically fixes a syntax error.
Right. Think about GitHub Copilot's inline completions versus a dedicated chat panel. The inline completion is frictionless. You tab to accept and you move on. The chat panel requires context switching, prompting, and copy-pasting.
We spent 40 years moving away from command line interfaces to visual direct manipulation interfaces because they are easier on the human brain. The AI chatbox is essentially a return to the command line, but a command line where the commands change every time you use them.
I think the tired of talking phenomenon is going to be the primary driver of UX innovation in the AI space over the next year. We are going to see a rapid retreat from the universal chatbox toward highly specialized, constrained interfaces where the AI acts as a background engine rather than a conversational partner.
It's the realization that natural language is a great fallback for complex, open-ended queries, but it is a terrible primary interface for deterministic, repetitive tasks. We need our tools to act like tools, not like overly enthusiastic interns.
Exactly. Give me sliders. Give me buttons. Give me deterministic keyboard shortcuts. Let the AI handle the complex reasoning in the background, but don't make me have a conversation just to change a variable name.
All right, that is enough deep philosophy for one episode. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got a mix of bug reports and broader tech culture news to get through today.
let's start with another highly specific issue from the AI tooling world, this time involving remote bash environments. This is another bug in Claude Code. When a user on a Mac desktop connects to a remote Amazon Linux 2 host via SSH, the bash input feature fails to expand the home directory. Instead of resolving to /home/ec2-user, it passes a literal tilde character.
It is a classic shell expansion failure. If you try to run a command like ls or interact with a file path, the literal tilde completely breaks the path resolution. It's a small detail, but it renders the remote bash integration essentially unusable until it's patched.
It really highlights how difficult it is to build seamless tooling that bridges local desktop environments and remote Linux kernels. The environment variables always find a way to trip you up.
Moving to the Java ecosystem, there's an open issue in the Anthropic Java SDK regarding the code execution beta header. The latest required header is code execution -2025-0825, but the Anthropic Beta Kotlin class hasn't been updated to include it.
This means anyone trying to build Java applications that leverage the new code execution capabilities is currently blocked by a simple version string mismatch. It's an easy fix, but it's frustrating for developers on the bleeding edge.
It's the reality of working with beta features. The API evolves faster than the language-specific SDKs can keep up. Hopefully, they get a pull request merged quickly to bump that header version.
Over on Hacker News, a blog post titled "The Worst Job Interview I Ever Had" has been dominating the front page. It's a familiar story of a grueling, poorly managed technical interview process that ends up completely alienating the candidate.
Tech hiring has been fundamentally broken for a long time. Between the irrelevant whiteboard algorithms, the take-home projects that take 40 hours, and the complete lack of communication from recruiters, it's a miracle anyone gets hired at all.
The massive response to the post just shows how universal this pain point is. As an industry, we really need to rethink how we evaluate engineering talent, because the current hazing rituals are just driving good people away.
It is rare to see a platform survive an acquisition and eventually buy its freedom back. I'll be keeping a close eye on what they build next, now that they control their own destiny.
This is genuinely exciting. Last.fm was one of the original Web 2.0 darlings, and it has maintained a fiercely loyal user base despite years of corporate neglect. Going independent gives them a chance to actually innovate again.
It is rare to see a platform survive an acquisition and eventually buy its freedom back. I'll be keeping a close eye on what they build next, now that they control their own destiny.
Finally, a sobering read on how private equity firms are quietly rolling up America's essential services. We are talking about veterinary clinics, HVAC repair, plumbing, and local medical practices being bought out by massive financial institutions.
The playbook is always the same. Buy up local independent shops, consolidate the back office, raise prices aggressively, and cut the quality of service to maximize short-term returns. It is the financialization of everyday life.
It's a trend that has massive implications for local economies and consumer costs. When your local plumber is suddenly owned by a Wall Street firm, the incentives fundamentally shift away from community service towards shareholder extraction.
And that is going to wrap it up for today's briefing. Thanks, as always, for tuning in and navigating these complex stories with us.
We appreciate you spending part of your day with us. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review.
We will catch you in the next episode. Until then, stay safe out there and keep building.